You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America.
Richard.
It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his tiger's knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good, buddy. Here's how I'm going to feel. I'm grooving. I want you guys to listen to this tune.
Thank you.
Always trying something new. I'm going to build you a castle so high that it'll reach the sky. I wish to God, ladies and gentlemen out there in the Bigfoot world, that I had it all to build that castle for each and every one of you. But I got to tell you, I get mellow yellow jello now and then, and sometimes you get tired of doing the Bigfoot boogie. But then you got to just kick it, listen, and chill.
Sorry, Bill.
Try something new is what it's called. Smokey Robinson, ladies and gentlemen. Guy really had a knack for putting those rhymes down, didn't he, Billy?
Sure did.
Well, geez, what a great show tonight. My goodness. First off, ladies and gentlemen, I want to start off on a downer, but sometimes we got to recognize some things about our families here. And as you guys know, Marco, Bill, and I have been doing this show now for, I don't know, 6 years now, Billy?
Almost 7 years.
Almost 7 years, ladies and gentlemen. We're still here. Said it couldn't be done, and we're still here to talk about it. Well, my partner, my co-host, my friend, my brother, our brother, and Marco, Bill, lost his mama this week, ladies and gentlemen. I know he doesn't want me to talk about it much, but I'm going to tell you anyway because he's your family as much as he is mine. And I'm sure, Marco, our condolences go out to you and your family and everybody out there. I'm sure send you their love and condolences because you only have one mama.
Thanks, Tom, and a lot of people did. I've gotten many, many emails, Facebook, everything from a lot of our friends and family, the Bigfoot family here.
Well, that's good.
And
well,
I really appreciate everybody. Everybody's
listening to the show.
Condolences,
episodes, and everything else. But you know what affects you affects me and affects everybody out there who loves you, as I love you. Well, listen. Let's get on a good note. Let's get on the good foot, as James Brown said. Getting on the good foot. All right. We're going to get up there, go to Oregon. We're going to talk to Carrie. Carrie
yep.
has been having some experiences and heard vocalizations while she was camping out there with her friends. Let's get out there to Oregon. Carrie, you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I like that. Hi, how are you? Stupendous, super, off the charts, girlfriend.
Oh, that's great.
How are you?
I'm doing well. My thoughts and prayers go out for you, Bill. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you, Carrie.
You know what, Carrie? I got to tell you something. Bill is probably one of the most incredible people you'll ever meet in your life. You know, all the well wishes came in, like he says, phone calls, emails, Facebooks, Twitter, and all the other stuff that goes along with it today. And you know what he says? My mama's up there in the Bigfoot heaven, looking down at all of us, sending her blessings and wanting us to go on and do the show. Because I told him, I said, you know, we don't have to go through it this week. He says, no, mama would have wanted because she used to listen every week. Makes me
proud. That's great.
And honored. So if you're listening up there, mama, this is our first guest, Carrie from Oregon. Carrie, why don't you tell our listeners out there around the globe exactly what happened?
I was camping with a group of my friends. There's seven of us, including me, out in the Tillamook Forest. And we decided to put the campfire out. It was time to go to bed. And we put it out, and we were all laying in our tents for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and all of a sudden these loud, I mean, unbelievably loud whoops start happening, and it was a very, very long, pronounced whoop, and then three small ones after, and we're all just laying there trying to figure out, what is this, what kind of animal is this, what could be this loud, I mean, none of us could come up with an explanation. And the next morning, one of my friends was like, that was Bigfoot. And it just clicked. I was like, oh, there's no doubt in my mind that it was. So I told my dad when I came home, and he was, you know, all ecstatic, and he's been looking up calls, and he actually found the exact call that I heard from somebody else that had heard the same thing on YouTube, I believe, or something like that. So, yeah, it was just very unreal.
Carrie, let me ask you this. What went through your mind when you heard that first loop?
I was just really scared. I didn't know. I couldn't pinpoint what it was, because I knew it wasn't a coyote. It wasn't a bear. I mean, it wasn't an elk or anything, you know, bugling or anything like that. And I don't think that they do that so late at night. It was just so unreal. It was so loud. It was just nothing like I've ever heard before.
Did you get a recording of it, Carrie?
I didn't, and I wish I would have. I did not, and I really wish I would have, because it went on for so long. I mean, it literally was like almost 20 minutes, and it would pause in between it would do the long whoop and then the three short whoops, and it would pause for maybe 4 seconds and then do the same thing, never changing pitch, was always the same pitch. And, I mean, it was just absolutely crazy.
Did you sleep the entire night through, or did you stay awake?
It took me quite a while to fall asleep. I was talking to my sister in the tent. We were just like, what was that? And we just couldn't pinpoint it. And the next night, it did it again, but it was just the long whoops. It was not the short ones, and it only did it about 4 times, and that was it. And I didn't get to my phone fast enough to record it, or I would have, because I thought it was going to go on longer, but it was just the 4 calls. So.
Harry, have you ever heard of a barred owl?
I have not.
Okay. You might want to go online and listen to a barred owl's, the way they whoop, and see if
it's
close to that. Because a lot of times people mistake a barred owl for when they vocalize to one of these creatures. I'm not saying that you did that or you heard that's what you heard, because you
heard
what you heard. It was something that you've never heard before.
Uh-huh.
What I'm going to tell you is you might want to go and say, you know, go to Google and say, hey, what is a barred owl, B-A-R-R-E-D?
Okay.
Sound like, or what's their vocalizations like? And then let Marco Bill know that it was nowhere near that, or if it was that, then just tell him that also. But that would be a great distinguishing mark or something to go by. And this way you'll get to also know about what's out there in the forest that you could hear. It's just like, you know, you call it a coyote. Depends on what world you're in, that you call it either coyote.
Yeah.
I like that, because you put a little smile
on it. Bill.
I haven't heard that in a long time. How old are you, dear?
I am 24.
24. There you go.
Yeah.
Now, was this a girls' night out camping? Or?
It was a kid-free weekend. I had Nana and Papa watch the kids, so we got to go out and just have a little fun for the weekend. So, yeah.
What was the weather like, Carrie?
What's that?
What was the weather like?
It was really hot. It was maybe like 85, something like that in the day. And yeah, nice weather though.
Did it get down to a cooler weather at night?
Oh yeah, yeah. We were all bundled up and everything.
Uh-huh. Were you cooking outside?
Yes, we were.
Did you have any food that you were cooking that permeated a big smell?
We were cooking chicken and burgers and stuff like that, so yeah, I'm sure it did.
Okay, did you use any barbecue sauce?
Yes, we did.
Okay, that's the killer right there. That's the thing that makes these creatures put their sniffer up in the air, because it's a smell that they've never smelled before, okay?
Oh.
So probably what had happened is you heard one of these creatures melt, barbecue sauce. And do you remember what it was? Did it have smoke in it? Was it a smoke-based barbecue sauce? Was it a honey-based?
I'm not positive. I'm not positive what it was.
Mm-hmm. Was it a sweet barbecue sauce?
I think it was a sweeter one, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's a honey-based. And I'm sure it was made with a honey and mustard. And when that stuff gets in that fire and the fire hits onto that meat, you know, you can smell that barbecue, the meat hitting together.
There's oh, yeah.
Smoke up into the air. And that'll, you know, if it was windy or any type of wind at all, it would move that smoke and that smell all around. And it could go for miles, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And these creatures,
yeah.
A great, great sniffer. And they could smell that kind of thing, and they could have been, you know, saying, "Hey, we got some barbecue out here," and calling the other ones out there and saying, "Let's find out where it's at," you know. So the key is, did you leave anything on the barbecue after the night was over, where somebody could have came and eaten off of it?
I think there was a couple pieces of chicken that had just dropped into the fire. That I think we're left there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that is wonderful. Are you planning on going back or what?
I think my dad he's just totally stoked about it, and I believe he's going to go back this weekend, so hopefully he hears something and maybe record something for you guys.
That would be wonderful. And by the way, where did you learn that terminology, stoked?
You know, my parents grew up in the 70s. What can I say?
That is so cool because I remembered it and they passed it on to you. That is awesome. You don't hear that terminology anymore, you know, in today's times, okay?
Yeah.
When I heard you say stoked, I'm thinking to myself, wow, these are my kind of people. Carrie, I hope to meet you someday, and thank you for sharing with us and taking from your family and sharing around the globe your story.
Thank you so much for having me.
God bless, and you got an open door to be with us anytime you'd like, honey.
Okay.
You know what you do? Just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show, okay?
All right, bye.
Bye, honey. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Carrie up there in Oregon, telling you about the vocalizations, the whoopings that they had out there. It was a girl's night out. They were in the tent, and I'll tell you, it's probably like the Girl Scouts night out, and they got a little feared, okay? And she's told you the story here tonight. Marco, let's go to commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
Thank you, Marco. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen this movie or heard about it, I guess you've been under a rock somewhere. But it was the seventh largest story in 2008, The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, about the two cops from Georgia that pulled over a pretty big hoax. And we were caught right in the middle of that. Well, we made a movie of it because we had our cameras going the whole time. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. You can get it at on Searching for Bigfoot, Shopping for Bigfoot right there on our website, or you can get it on Amazon.com. You get it from us, it comes a lot quicker, and you know you're going to get it within 3 days. I got to tell you, it was took a bite out of all of us. And you'll get to see some footage that you've never seen before. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, ladies and gentlemen. Without any further ado, we're going to go out there to Arkansas. And we're going to talk to Chris. We're going to find out about the recent activity he had going out there. Chris, you out there?
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually working on 3.0 at the moment. I was going to be out there in the woods tonight, but my alternator wasn't charging. My lights went off, and I had to get back to the house real quick.
Well, you get that fixed up quicker than hell, I hope.
Oh, yeah. I'll be out there within an hour and a half.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, look here. How's the weather been out there by you?
Well, today has been kind of cool, and yesterday was kind of cool, but other than that, it's been really, really hot, but it rained yesterday a little bit, so that was good for it. That's why I wanted to get out there today, where it dried all up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we had a guy calling in yesterday from Arkansas, outside of about 40 miles south of Fayetteville. You know where that is?
That can't be too far from me.
Okay. And
I'm not, but how many hundred miles south of Fayetteville? Like maybe like 250 miles, something like that. So I mean, it's like 200 miles from me, not too far.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is he had a hell of a sighting going on in his area, and believe it or not, he said he shot at it, but he couldn't find any blood, and he was just following this trail that this thing blazed through for 12 hours.
Oh, yeah, I
and
bet.
He was telling me about that it had started to rain, and there was a lot of prints that he had seen in the ground. So we'll see what happens with you. Listen, for those who aren't familiar with you, Chris, why don't you be kind enough to tell everybody out there around the globe in the Bigfoot world your story?
First of all, my name is Chris Reed. I'm from South Arkansas, Union County, to be a little bit more specific. Me and my buddy and we had moved into a house that no one had lived in for about a year and a half, and it was out in the country. It was right outside the city limits, so I mean, it wasn't deep in the country, but like it wasn't like around anything major. And we decided to walk. My girlfriend she works as a waitress, and it was a Saturday night, and it was late, and the dogs were restless, so we decided to take the two pit bulls that we had at the house, Steel the male and Ruthless the female, down the pipeline. And when we started walking down the pipeline, it started sounding like something was walking beside us in the woods. Me and my buddy, you know, talked about it. We did what we could, a certain amount of steps. We'd stop at the same time, and we would hear it stop with us. We got to the opening, though, and we didn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, my big blue dog tried to pull us in the woods, and we caught eye shine at like 7.5, 8 feet up, and it took off running away from us. And it turned around, looked at us again. We did eye shine again, and it ran further into the woods. Me and my buddy left at that point in time, went home. 2 days later, we heard a vocalization in the yard. The dog had hit the screen door, and we went outside to investigate. And about 20, 30 minutes later, we heard vocalization. It sounded like a warning to me because it was very loud, aggressive. And then not too long, probably about 4 or 5 days after that, I've been doing my research on the internet about Bigfoot because I just was like, "What? I've never heard nothing like that." I grew up here all my life, so in the meantime, people were at the house and they were making fun of me. And I finally said, "You know what? Let's just go get in my Tahoe, and I'll take y'all down there where this happened, and y'all can go look in the woods for yourself. I'm sure that it did some kind of damage. Because the way it sounded like somebody let a bull loose in the woods. We went out there, and all seven of us got out of the Tahoe, and we walked down the woods together, and we all seven found the footprint. It was about 17 and a half inches from heel to toe and about 2.5 inches deep at the heel. And not in mud. This was just an impact print where it would have stopped the second time, where it was stopped and then ran from us the second time. It'd probably been like the first step it took when it ran away from us the second time. I had Mr. Jim Dawson, one of his friends, come out. They're from Arkansas as well, and they came in and they showed me some things. They went out in the woods with me, and they taught me what to look for, and he said that he's definitely assured that I do have some creatures in the area where in question. It's like he said, it looked like a playground for a young one. I've got footprint impressions, pictures and videos, and vocalization. I was going to tell the young lady, she wants to go look at my YouTube page. I have a really nice vocalization from the 26th of June, and it's like what she's talking about. It's like whooping, but it's very aggressively whooping. Like it's not like an owl at all. It's whoa whoa. It's very deep. You can hear the vibration in his voice. I've got plenty of tree formation videos on there, stuff to look for, like what they do with tree formations. If you feed them and you do good by them, they tend to decorate for you and change things up a bit. We put some peanut butter out, and the little trees that was around the couple of big trees where we put the peanut butter. We came out there like the next day or whatever to check, and the peanut butter was gone, and all the little trees were like demolished, like crushed and ripped up. Like all the little trees, the green saplings around those trees we put the peanut butter on, they were, it was destroyed. It was like somebody did a clear cut, but it was only in that one little area. I've seen visual of the creature. I haven't got to see like directly at its face yet. I'm looking forward to the day that happens. Most of the time when I get to see it, it's moving pretty quickly away from the direction I'm headed. I've several different size footprints. I've got scat still here, Tom. You know, we need to try to find something to do with that. I've got two different specimens. And
you got it frozen, don't you, Chris?
Yes, I do. It's in the freezer.
Okay, why don't you give that girl a holler, Carrie, and tell her where she can go listen to those things on YouTube.
Okay, my YouTube, you can go to Bigfoot Live on your website, and it actually has a link to my YouTube. Or if you just go to YouTube, you can put it in the number 4, like don't spell it out, just put the number 4, and then THEPOUND, 4 D pounds.
Okay, wait a minute, I didn't know. Marco, do we have it on the Bigfoot Live website?
Yeah, yes, and what I'll do is I'll make it more clearly available on both.
I want to send that link over to Carrie so she'll have a chance to, you know, compare her whoops with Chrissy's whoops, okay?
I got two different vocalizations on there. One is like a me being playful on the porch just going woo, and it started doing it back, and that's the first video. But the one on the 26th, it goes on like she's talking about it. It went on probably like, That's what caught my attention, because when I first noticed it, we was driving down the road with the windows down. We just left the pipeline where we had seen had the encounter that when it was almost like they knew we was there enough to where the one on the other side of the road started like I don't know, celebrating maybe, or I don't know. It's hard to describe. If you listen to it, you hear what I'm saying. I pull over on the side of the road and just stick my phone out the window and start recording it. It's pretty loud. A professor at UCLA did a sound spectrum photo of it, and he said whatever it was getting really close to 20 hertz, and he said there's not an animal, you know what I'm saying, that's indigenous to North America that can supposed to be able to do that where I live. You know, we don't have anything like a wolverine or like a grizzly bear or anything like that. You know, we have little black bears. They don't make the same noises. So I know that's pretty cool. I've got that sound spectrum photo I can hold on to and keep. He said it doesn't prove that it's Bigfoot, but it doesn't prove that it does prove that it's not a dog or a cat or anything like that. They picked my video because they were doing a criminal justice class and they wanted to discredit it, and they wound up doing the opposite. So I was kind of excited.
Well, you should be very proud. That's for damn sure. So what's been going on there now lately?
Well, lately it's been getting close to hunting season, so I've had to be more respectful about the times that I go out there, and because the guys, you know, they don't want me scaring the deer off if they're gonna be hunting out there that year. And I mean I understand that. They pay good money for their lease, and they've been nice enough to let me continue to go out there after we had to move from the house we were living in, so I don't wanna step on anybody's toes. I've been hearing about some places on some other areas, and I've started doing my research on mapping it out. The last show I was on, I told you that we had had the roadside encounter where I drove by and I looked in the rearview, I looked in the side mirror, and I could have swore I saw something when I drove by. It was like it was just right on the tree line, like just standing there. And I was like, what in the world? I thought I was tripping, because once again, I remember Jim Dawson telling me that when you first start doing this, you think everything is Bigfoot. And I wouldn't say it's that bad at all. It's not that bad at all, but I definitely thought I saw something, so I slowed down and just stared at the mirror, and then I definitely saw something move back from the tree line, like it almost like the like a little partial side part of the head and shoulder that moved back into the tree line, and I looked at my buddy and I was like, no way, and he was like, what? I put it in reverse and drove back, got out, and due to technical difficulties, we didn't get in the woods as fast as we wanted to. The digital camera when we went to go in there push recorded had absolutely no batteries, and one of the digital recorders, like the little Mino, it was dead too, and I couldn't believe that I forgot to charge them up and put new batteries in them, so we had to go back to the Tahoe to get some batteries and stuff. So I have a feeling that I was pretty close that day, but that's the day we followed the way that it went into the woods. That's the day we found this humongous tree. I don't know if I sent you pictures of that, Marco, but it's on my Facebook for sure under mobile uploads. It's got a picture of my buddy up in it, and I've never seen a tree this big in Arkansas. You could definitely drive a little Volkswagen car through it. It's a white oak, but it's massive. Like the split off in the branches is bigger than most of the oak trees around here.
Well, let me ask you this. I don't think we've ever talked about it. Have you ever had any distinctive smells, odors?
My nose doesn't work that well, and girlfriend of mine, she's pregnant right now, so you know her senses are pretty ridiculous right now. She smells stuff that I don't even know how she smells it, but she said that she had smelled some stuff when we was out there and she was doing the tree knock, and that's really the only thing she's got to be able to do because her work schedule and stuff like that, she doesn't really have the opportunity to go out there like she would like to. But she did, she had that tree knock that I was telling y'all about that went on for about an hour and a half. She was stood out in the front yard hitting this tree, and it started out with one knocking back, and then it wound up being three in total by the end of it knocking back. And then it's like the sun started coming up, and it's like the knock stopped. Like they just quit knocking back. I don't know if they could see who it was doing it by that point or what, but one of them definitely sounded like it was moving closer to us, but the other two didn't. It seemed like they were just staying in pretty much the same spot.
Let me ask you this, Chris. What ultimately would you like to see done with one of these Bigfoot?
Me personally, I at first I was all like, I'm gonna be the person that gets Bigfoot, but I mean, not to say that would not be awesome or cool in my mind, because I mean, you'd be remembered forever, but you would also be the person that made these things real, like, and I don't mean just about real, like, now nobody can't say that you're crazy. I mean real, like, now they are protected. Now they have their own habitat that, you know what I'm saying, they're going to be able to live and they don't have to worry about people logging their area. I mean, one has got to be taken in to science, whether it be caught alive or whether it be dead when it's brought in. But the finding a body thing, if the research that I did, I wholeheartedly think that I agree with the fact that they bury their dead. And I also believe that it's going to be very, very hard to catch one alive, seeing as how it's been this many years since people have been seeing these things. And around here, and this is a bad, bad example, but around here they got a saying, if seven people stay smoking crack, you're probably smoking crack. And that's just saying that if there's that many people saying that it is, it probably has something to do. It probably is something to do going on. So I was not a Bigfoot believer. I am totally now a Bigfoot believer. Seeing things like trees that have random glass bottles all facing the same direction, like spiraling around the tree in layers with leaves, like that's nuts. Like, why would a human being be that far out in the woods for chiggers and ticks? And, you know, it's 120 degrees and they've got a bottle formation around a tree. Like, who does that? You know, I've never done that.
You're a smart man, Chris, and I enjoy having you on. Keep up the search. Let us know as the weeks progress, because let me tell you something. In the next 90 days, these things are going to be migrating and moving. You're going to be hearing and seeing, and maybe you'll be the one that'll have the next encounter with one of these creatures. Thanks for sharing part of your evening with us, son.
I appreciate it. The one thing I do want to tell you, though, Tom, is that we discovered a freshwater spring pond. It's a spring-fed pond that is going to be watering it all year long around where I'm at. This is one reason why it's so cool, because the creek that I've been on, following the creek bed that I got the new foot impression, I know you probably haven't seen that video, but it's on YouTube as well. It's a foot impression right beside a creek. And then as I'm looking at this one, taking a video, my buddies find another one that's even bigger, even better. So then I move over there and show it. But it's going to be water there all year long. There's a marsh that stays there. So, I mean, they'll have water and they'll have shade. So, I mean, they might not have to move from there. They're in a nice bottom.
Look for caverns and outcroppings and stuff like that, where something in old abandoned mines where they can be hanging in. That's what you need to do next.
I saw an old barn, and I got so excited because I heard you say it on the last show, and I was like, all right, we all went up there real slow. And it didn't really seem like there was nothing going in there. It really didn't. I got pictures on, I know I sent them to Marco, but I got pictures on there that it looks like in this little area where it's like used to be like a ditch. It definitely looks like something very large, like a large person what had been laying there and been laying there several times. Like it's like the ground is sunk in the form of a body. It's ridiculous. Like,
listen, you keep up that search and mute yourself out. We got Richard from New York coming up, and you're going to be really interested in what he's got to say. And
that's always am. Richard always has got some good stuff.
Yes, he does. Okay, listen. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Chris from Arkansas sharing a little bit of his evening with us, telling us exactly what's going on and what he's been doing. Really appreciate that. Without any further ado, let's get out there to upstate New York and talk to our fine friend, Richard. Richard, you out there?
And Tom,
yeah, hi,
Tom. Before we start, the video that Richard had, I somehow have a different video. It's not the same video. So we won't be able to compare that with what he was talking about. But go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry. The video you had, you know, that you said it had the face, the dog face
right.
And all that stuff. Yeah, the video that I got is something else. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay. Tom, I was...
First of all, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Good to hear your voice.
Yours also.
Tell us what's going on.
Well, I sent Marco a video and some photos.
Uh-huh.
I was, about 3 weeks ago, I was walking in my spot, and I heard a scream. So I told my wife about it, and she said, why don't you just leave the video on as you walk, and possibly you'll pick up the audio of the scream. Well, when I got home from my walk, I was going to erase it, and I went over my videos anyways, and in one of them I have about a three-second clip of something walking across the clearing and disappearing into the trees. And I got all excited, and I went to a professional video place, and I had it edited. I had it cut and edited into a CD. And from that, I have taken stills. And, Tom, I've looked at this thing probably 200 times, and now I got it to where I can see it as it disappears into the trees and bushes. I can see the bushes moving as it's walking across, going into the bushes, which I didn't see before. And the damn thing, I have it on my computer. I took one of the stills and I did a full, you know, for my computer screen, the full screen. The thing has a dog face. It has ears that stick straight up. And I can't tell whether it has a snout or not. And it's changed my whole conception of what they look like. That's basically it. I mean, I always consider it to look like an ape. It doesn't look like an ape.
How long ago did you take this footage?
3 weeks ago, and I've been to that spot probably 15 times since then. And we'll try to resend it.
Richard, let me ask you something. What has the weather been like up in your area?
Oh, it was hot, but it's not quite as hot. It was hot. It was very hot then. But, Tom, what had happened is on the way in, about 100 yards from that spot, I had done some weak tree knocks, not very strong. I didn't find anything good to hit tree with. And I went up, maybe another quarter mile, and then on the way back, I'm just walking with my camera on. My camera was on a bipod that was closed, and I was holding it right next to, in my left hand next to my chest. I think if I had that camera up to where I was looking through it, nothing would have happened. It would have stayed still, but it didn't think that I was able to record it moving. And for anybody that thinks they can get one of these things moving in daylight, that was going so quick you couldn't believe it, Tom.
Well, no, I can believe it. I've seen it move, and they're quicker than hell.
If I tried to get it, I couldn't have got it. If I tried to get it, I couldn't have got it. And I'm wondering how many times I've gone in there and they've been around me and I've never seen them.
Amazing. Totally amazing.
And I went to where I had seen it, and the chest, it was like from chest high out of the grass, that grass comes up to my face. And I'm just about 5'11". So you figure out the height. It's another 3 feet over from, in the video, you can see the left arm. The left arm is very long from what I can see of it. Drag it, it's out straight. As it kind of sidestepped, Tom, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It didn't lose sight of me. It kind of sidestepped into the bushes, looking at me directly. And I could swear Marco had that video before. I tried to send it today. Evidently, it didn't go through.
Well, you know, when you get a chance again, just send it through. And
oh, yeah, I can send it. But you have to know specific. On my camera, it is as plain as day, Tom. I've kept it on the camera. You have to really look for it on the video. It's so quick. And you got to know exactly where to look. And that's at about the 50-second mark of the video. On the 30-second mark, I can kind of see a figure moving across. I really can't pick it. It's so small, I can't pick it out, you know? And it was where it crossed. I'm sure it went across the path up to where the landfill is. And it came out of that spot I keep telling everybody I can't get into anymore. They've got it closed off. Whether that was done on purpose or they go over there because nobody goes over there. Nobody can access the trail into there anymore. It's closed off on all sides.
Wow.
And it's probably a couple hundred, 300-400 acres. And that's where I heard the scream come from that I was trying to record when I got the video.
By the way, all the times that you've been out there, have you heard any vocalizations?
I heard a scream.
I know.
I've heard
besides
a scream.
That.
Yes, I did. I heard what 2 years ago, where the area I can't get into, I heard that samurai talk. You know, like that, back and forth. Two of them going back and forth.
Oh, yeah, monkey chatter.
And I said, it was more like Japanese or Chinese, it sounded like.
Yeah.
It was like, ooh, 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 like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, I turned around, and I said, okay, boys, I'm leaving right now. You can stop talking about me. And that's also a spot where I heard a growl. And that's where I can't go anymore, Tom. They have signs up that you will be prosecuted if you go in there.
And why do you think that is? Why are they
it was
that
a
area
week,
off, Richard?
It was a week after I called you for the first time and I told you that I had a sighting. I had one go across the trail there. It was on all fours.
You know, I
got to
tell you something, Richie. We've uncovered a lot of darkness in this industry. We've uncovered a lot of stuff that leads to our government. And I don't know if we're being tapped, some of our lines. I don't know if we're being followed. Well, I know that we're being followed. I have no doubt in my mind about that. And all of our contacts, for one reason or another, are all being contacted, especially the ones that have been on our shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting late, and I got another guest yet.
Yeah, and one other thing, Tom.
Yeah.
That week after that I talked to you, there was a helicopter 200 feet off the ground going over the exact area that's closed off.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Are the men in
that's
black
the truth.
After us?
And Marco said you should put a trail cam. If I put a trail cam on, they're going to confiscate it.
That's for probably sure. All right, well, listen, Richard, keep doing your due diligence and research that you're doing. Appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. And keep us informed of what's going on, okay, good buddy?
Yeah, thank you, Tom, and God bless you, and I hope eventually you do crack this thing.
Hey, baby, we do too. Nobody, as a matter of fact, you might want to listen to this next conversation. Just mute yourself out and listen up. I got my young blood coming on, and we're going to discuss something that we haven't discussed in a long time. Thanks so much, Rich.
You're welcome,
hey, Richard, before you leave, Chris, I'm going to send you Chris's number. He wants to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You're going to send it via email, right?
Yes.
I will call him tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Rich.
Good night, Tom.
Marco, let's go to commercial.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotti and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And back to you, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the movie that started it all for us. And we went from Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Bigfoot Lives 3, The Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax, In the Shadow of Bigfoot, and of course the big blockbuster that's coming up. If you don't have it now, I mean, you can go to Redbox and get them there and download them on Netflix and buy them on our website. You can buy them on Amazon.com. They're all over the place, and it's still the number one most informative Bigfoot movie out there, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm going to tell you a story. You just heard Richard talk about that they cordoned off the area, the National Park, Department of Forestry. A lot of this land is all protected under the Department of Agriculture. We have two other things going on right now. One happens to be in the state of California, and the other happens to be in the state of Virginia. And there's things going on that, just like what happened in Arkansas, where something that's going on there right now also. Without any further ado, I'm going to have Youngblood, my confidant, my bodyguard, my tracker, my sharpshooter. He's like my own son, Rob Price. Rob, you out there?
I'm here, Chief.
Well, you know what? I think it's about time, son, that, and you put it in such a great way. You do it so much better than I. Why don't you explain, without giving the exact areas and the people who are involved, because you've been a part of everything that we've done thus far, and you heard me talk about Arkansas, which you tipped on a little bit last week, and of course, stuff we got going on now with the bodies up in California and then the stuff that's going on in Virginia. Why don't you cap on that a little bit and let everybody know?
Well, the nearest thing that we've gathered thus far is that anytime we get too close, for some reason, the government gets involved. I mean, that's been a given on all these projects. We get too close to finding, you know, and actually getting the concrete evidence in our hands, and all this crazy stuff starts to happen that's unexplained. I mean, you know, you got people being drove off the road and things like that on trips. And, you know, like I said, we had a vehicle accident in one of our expeditions. I don't know if anybody knows about that on the interstate. We had somebody cut one of the guys off in our convoy and run him off the road, and he wrecked, and that kind of ended the expedition and the trip for him. But
wait, don't just give that's a lick of the lollipop, son. Tell them what happened. There was one, two, three, four or five rigs in the convoy, and tell them what happened to his rig.
Well, he was the last one behind us, and I could see him in the rearview mirror. We're looking on pretty good. The traffic was pretty heavy, and then a black automobile cut him off. And it caused a massive pileup on the interstate, knocked him off the road. He went through the guide wire on the side of the interstate. The vehicle he was in rolled three times and ended up facing toward the interstate when it finally stopped, and everything that was in the back of it was strewed everywhere. It took us about an hour and a half to clean up all the, get all the gear back up that got thrown everywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you heard what I just heard. I was there when this happened. Rob was there when it happened. A black,
well, you know,
unmarked vehicle.
Yep. An unmarked vehicle. We took off, and I took off and had the camera crew with me. We pulled off, and it was about, we were up the road about a half a mile from the accident by the time we got pulled off, slowed down, and could get out of traffic because it was just that much traffic. And we ran down the side of the interstate with the camera crew back there to check it out, and there was a I think he was an 18 or 19 year old somebody. I don't know if he looked like he was in really good shape. So, you know, it could have been somebody fresh out of boot camp or part of some kind of government organization. You know, we don't really know the full details on all of it. Wouldn't be disclosed. I mean, it'll never come out in the light of day as to what actually happened and what transpired in that event. But I mean, that's just one instance.
Wait. Tell them who was supposed to be sitting in the passenger seat.
Oh, you were supposed to be sitting in the passenger seat of the vehicle.
Who?
You.
That's right. And I had a funny intuition. I said, no, that's okay. I'm gonna go with the lead car. And thank God I did, ladies and gentlemen, or we would not be having this talk here tonight.
Yeah, whoever was sitting in the passenger seat, if someone was in that vehicle, they would have died.
That's correct. That vehicle turned three times, and the passenger side crushed. It was a total vehicle, okay? Go ahead, son. I didn't mean to interrupt.
But as I was saying, that's just one of the instances. We don't really know how far down the rabbit hole goes. I mean, you know, all we get is just the surface, and then it gets all hush-hush, and everything gets quiet then. But, I mean, like I said, it never fails. We get real close on something and the pressure gets on, you know, they start pressuring our people that work with us, our sources, giving them death threats and things, threatening their families if they don't remain silent on the subject, tell them that they need to forget about it, they're going to face prosecution. It's going to be the easy way out is them facing prosecution for some of the threats that's been given out. I mean, being prosecuted in the court system is a whole lot better than being assassinated. But that's just what seems to be happening now all of a sudden. I mean, the government's tightening down on everything. The Homeland Security's, you know, working checkpoints 500 miles from the border. I mean, you know, you got all this tightening down of security in this country and all this, you know, them trying to watch every move we make and keep a thumb on every one of us for some reason all of a sudden. And I can't explain it. I mean, I really don't know what can be done about it at this point. It looks like it's a little too far gone to ever get back in some order of how it needs to be, how I think it should be. I mean, but not everybody thinks the way I do. They think, you know, terrorists are this and that and the other. And if anybody's ever looked at some of the Homeland Security agents, I don't see them protecting us from very much because most of them are a bunch of retards that I wouldn't trust with a potato gun anyway.
I like that. You know what? Why don't you just give a little bit of another lick of the lollipop, son, about what we got to look forward to in the next 2 weeks about some of these government people who are afraid and want to come forward and want to show us a lot of the stuff coming down the pike, and tell us.
Here. Well, I'm in contact with some people right now. I'm not going to say where because they're very scared. But we're working on getting a meeting set up to where me and a few others can go talk with these people. And the whole gist of this is they're going wanting to give us information that we don't have access to, and most of it was taken with government equipment, pictures, high-resolution photos, video, schematics on caves and things in the mainland United States where these things hide out. I've been told that they have pictures of these things actually in the cave. They went in there during the daytime, government agents, and took pictures of these things in the cave. Now, I don't know what the validity of that is or anything yet, because it's as yet to be seen, and I'm the type of person, and Tom is too, that, you know, if you tell me about it, you're okay, that's wonderful, that's great. I want to see it. You know, I'll believe you when I see it, when I see some of this stuff. Because we get all kinds. I mean, some of it is spot on, and people are telling the truth, and then sometimes you get involved with people that are just trying to make a quick buck and trying to, you know, start and perpetrate a hoax. And we don't want to be involved with those type of people. I mean, because that doesn't give anything to forward what we're trying to do here. It has nothing, no bearing on anything. It's worthless. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, but as far as them talking about it, they keep saying that we're the hoaxers, don't they?
That's right. They keep saying that we're the hoaxers, and we have been hoaxed a time or two. It has happened more than once, but, I mean, you know, when you're involved with this type of work and this type of trying to go out and find the truth, you're always going to get all this other stuff that goes along with it. And it's like finding an ounce of truth is almost like finding a needle in a haystack when it comes to doing this, because there's that much out there working against you.
You're right.
I mean,
you're right.
It's an uphill battle all the way.
Best part comes to an end. But let's bring them out and let's do a little bit of mellow yellow jello. Here we go, son. Listen, here we go. Don't be confused, the way is clear. Release and you'll find. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been cruising together one more night. Thank you for sharing just a little bit of spice of your life with me, my crew, my co-host, and all the people around the globe. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise to the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster myths and mysteries, legend, tales and facts. We're all together.